and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our last study about dispensations, I actually mentioned how that Satan is no longer in heaven. Some people think he's still there, and they think he's coming down during the tribulation period, now that God's going to cast him out. But I've got news for you. He's here already. He's already been cast out. God would not put up with that. God would not have sin in his presence. He would not have Satan there trying to destroy his heaven, his home. He would cast him out before any of that happened. And the Bible says that iniquity was found within Lucifer, Satan. He became Satan, of course. And I remind you that when God created Lucifer, he created a perfect being. In other words, Lucifer had an opportunity to do what was right, and he chose to do wrong. So he actually gave the angels, Lucifer, he gave those individuals an opportunity to do what was right and to make a decision, and they chose wrong. And such did Adam when the devil came along and tempted him. Now, I made mention that the devil is here already. We don't have to wait for him to be cast down out of heaven. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Well, the devil is here. We don't have to wait. Now, I'm not waiting for him anyway, especially in the tribulation period. I'll be gone. I'll be with the Lord during that time. But during the tribulation period, he will turn everything loose. I'm talking about Satan. He'll just go all out. And he still wants to be God. And he wants to be above God. And he's going to do everything he can to be God as long as he's able to do that. And there's coming a time when he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. And it'll all be over with. No more sin. No more temptations. It'll all be over with. Well, right now, I'd like for us to start on the subject of the dispensation of innocence. And this would be study one, and that is the study of innocence. Well, let me say this, that some minds are like concrete, thoroughly mixed up and permanently set. Well, this saying I've just mentioned should not describe us. Those of us who are saved. We should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says that. That's describing us. That's the way we should be. And no matter how long we study the word of God, the Lord will give us further insight as we look into the law of his word. And I say the law of his word because God's word never changes. However, the more we study, the more we find. I believe, and I've said this before, that God's word is a gold mine of searchable riches for those who dig for them. We must get into the word of God to know, in order to find out the great things of God. Now, of course, the greatest thing is when we trusted him as our Lord and Savior, and we saw that, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." When we believed upon him, and we actually took him and received him as our Savior. Well, we look in Genesis chapter 1, and I trust that if it's all possible, you'll have your Bible ready, and you'll be reading along with me. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Let me stop here just a moment. Well, everything is reversed today as we look at it. The animals have control of us. There's more money spent on dog and cat food than many people have. These homeless people, of course, they have nothing, but more money is billions of dollars a year spent on dog food. rather than the things of God, of helping other people know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We need to concentrate upon people. Now, I'm not saying to be mean to your animals. Don't go around saying that I'm mean and I want to get rid of all the animals and don't feed them. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there must be a common ground here. We must be ready and willing to take care of what God has placed us in charge of. And He did place us in charge of the animals to take care of them. But we're not to neglect the other things that God has placed us in charge of. And that is for the Christian to spread the Word of God, to get out the Word of God, to support missions, to support the local church that we belong to do the things with our finances that is actually God's money, that we need to do what He wants us to do, and that is to spread the Word of God. Well, notice now, He placed us in charge, and verse 27 goes on and says, "So God created man in His own image." Genesis 1 says this, God created man in His own image, in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And verse 28 goes on to say, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat." Well, there are several things that we could look at as we've read these verses, as I read these verses. And He said we're to have dominion, we're to be fruitful and multiply. Man has been fruitful, he's been multiplying, having children, but there's people who actually murder children. And that is going against what God has said to do, to multiply. And if man continues to do what he's doing right now, I'm speaking of the unsaved people, of doing the things against God. And I've said this before, the hammer of God has to fall on this country. But you and I, as the saved people of God, we need to stand up and we need to be heard and we need to cry aloud and spare not, according to the book of Isaiah. We're to tell people about Jesus, but we're also to warn the people of what's coming upon this country, especially if this country does not turn to God and seek to do the things that God wants done His way, not the devil's way. Be fruitful and multiply and subdue it. Have dominion, the Lord says. And he says that we are to take care of the place that He's given us, and that's this world. We're to do the things that He wants us to do. Now, the global warmest people, in other words, the people who are saying that there's global warming, they haven't seen anything yet. The Bible tells us that there's coming a time when everything's going to melt with a fervent heat. And that's not going to be man-made, that's going to be God-made. God's going to do that, and He's going to cleanse this world. He's going to get rid of all sin that was ever present in this world. It's all going to be cleansed. There's not going to be a trace of it left. But we're to have dominion. We're to understand that God is the one. He's really in charge. He's in control. And don't fall for the trap of saying, well, it is what it is, and it's going to be what it is. We don't want to be in that mindset, especially as saved people, because sometimes we just say, oh, well, what's going to be is going to be. That's called apathy. We need to pray and seek God's face, and we need to take a stand for the Lord, doing what He wants us to do, not what the world wants us to do. Well, in this study of dispensations, this first dispensation of innocence, let me say this, that I've titled this A Dispensational Walk, From the Beginning to the Beginning. You recall in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God. Well, we keep reading the Word of God, and we get what we call the end of the book, and that's simply another beginning, the beginning to the beginning. And that's what we want to look at as we go through a dispensational walk. And let me say that the best way to do this is with the Lord, in His Word. Well, some who do not believe in dispensations, and I've talked about this before, they do not believe in dispensations as found in God's Word, are called preterists. Preterists believe prophecies relating to the tribulation and the coming of Christ were fulfilled in 70 AD. Well, a dispensationalist takes the Bible literally. A dispensationalist is a person who takes the Bible seriously. He believes what the Bible says, and he simply takes God at his word, and he believes that God means what he says and says what he means. He does not make God's word say something else, but he lets God's word say just what it says. Well, there's such a thing called covenant theology. Now, covenant theology says there is a covenant made among the three persons of the Trinity to elect, atone for, and save a select group of individuals unto salvation and eternal life. Covenant theologians, and I'm just letting you know what they believe now, covenant theologians argue that God has one people of God, throughout redemptive history, called Israel under the Old Testament, and called the church under the New. Did you catch that? They're separating the Old Testament from the New. It's all one book. Well, it goes on to say that as I can tell, that some covenant theologians believe in dispensations and some do not. You see, their positions are cloudy. They're Calvinists. Some of them, they can't agree among themselves as to what a dispensation is or if there are dispensations. Some who say they believe in it, that's really cloudy. It's really hard to tell if they really believe in dispensations. Well, there's also something called replacement theology. This is also known as supersessionism. And this essentially teaches that the church has replaced Israel in God's plan. And adherents of replacement theology believe the Jews are no longer God's chosen people, and God does not have specific future plans for the nation of Israel. Well, those who adhere to replacement theology, of course, are not dispensationalists. And let me say, these people are walking on dangerous ground, because God's chosen people, well, they're still Israel. And that's the reason we're going to see, I'm not going to see it personally, I'm not going to be in it. That's the reason we read of the tribulation period, is to bring God's people back to him so that they will receive him as their God and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we're going to see that as we get into the study of the tribulation, which is another dispensation. Well, let me say this, that God has always had a plan. He's never been taken by surprise. Nothing surprises God, because he knows everything. He knows it before it happens. He knows it. He knows what's going to take place. He knows after something happens what's going to be the result. Well, notice the word, the person of God. You see, before man was made, a statement was made by God. He said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, "Let us make man." Let me read that. "And God said, let us make man," what? "In our image, after our likeness." In other words, our resemblance, a model of us, a shape, or the likeness, the fashion of, the manner of, their similitude. And when we see this, and we're going to look at this further as we get into the study of the dispensation of innocence. In that verse, the word "us," in that verse, verse 26, Genesis 1, the word "us" and "our," the words, is referring to the Trinity. Now, some say, well, the Trinity is not even listed in the Bible. Well, the word Trinity is an abbreviation for the word triunity. Tri means three, and unity refers to oneness. Trinity, therefore, means three in one. And the next time that we gather together, I'm going to go into this, and we're going to read some verses about the Trinity, about God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why not? Trust him today. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, the children of God. Ask him to come into your heart. Turn from sin and let God save you today through Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.